Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. She is joined by her co-host Jessica and producer Mike Clark. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better.
Oh, it feels so good to be back in the studio.
You always say that.
Do I?
Yeah.
It does. It feels
good. It's freezing
good. It feels
in here.
Good. It is pretty cold.
Yeah.
So you notice
it'll get warm.
You notice there's been a lot of rain lately.
Yeah.
You notice how some people will come in to the office, or maybe you have friends, Michael, or clients here, and they just want to complain about the rain and how dreary it is and how everything's getting wet.
Well, we do live in New England. It's part of our right of being in New England to complain about the weather, I think.
And then there's other people who will say, oh, this rain smells so good. Everything's so fresh. I'm so glad things are getting watered. Isn't it nice to have a rainy day where you can just get things done in the house? And they'll see the plus side of it.
Right.
This may go back to the old saying, is your glass half empty or is your glass half full?
I read somewhere that the glass is always full because half of it's oxygen.
See, now I'm an engineer, so I say the glass is twice as big as it needs to be.
I'm going to think about that for
okay,
a while.
All right.
Well, and I think that you could call someone who would say their glass is half full an optimist and half empty a pessimist.
Right.
I dug up some research that was done in the Mayo Clinic. It was an article called Optimists versus Pessimists, Survival Rate Among Medical Patients Over a 30-Year Period. This was done in the Mayo Clinic, and it was a research study done to see if optimists live longer.
I would imagine they would.
Yeah, and they do.
You know, yeah.
It's common sense, but it actually was studied. And what's cool is they took 839 patients that were followed for 3 decades, so 30 years.
That's a long study.
I know, 529 women, 310 men. They aged from 15 to 84, and 200 of them died during the 30-year period because, you know, they were
right.
older.
Right.
But what they found was quite interesting. So this is what happens. These participants took a standard psychological test. So this test is actually called the Optimism-Pessimism Scale of the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, or the MMPI. And it was 298 questions that were designed to distinguish how the individuals perceive just common life events. And then what they did was they were either labeled as an optimist, a pessimist, or a person that exhibited a mixture of both traits.
Do you have a copy of that test? I'd like to take it.
I do. I actually...
See, I would think it would depend on your day, too. I mean, because we all have our days where we're kind of...
That's true, but you know? There's also people that just every day there's always something wrong.
I know people like that.
And
Yeah.
You can count on them to say what's wrong.
No matter what it is.
Right. And what was interesting was out of the 839 people, 124 were classified as optimistic, 197 as pessimistic, and 518 somewhere in between. So basically...
There are more pessimists than optimists, obviously.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And what they found was that when the researchers compared the subjects' expected lifespans with their actual lifespans of the 200 people who died during the study, they found that pessimists were 19% more likely to die early than their expected lifespan. And conversely, optimists live significantly longer than expected. And what's cool is I have like 4 other research articles that support the same thing.
Right. So don't worry, be happy.
Right. Seriously. This one was interesting. They did this at Harvard University. They took 99 people who graduated from Harvard between 1942 and 44. So when they were 25 years old, this is back in the early 40s, these participants completed a questionnaire that determined if they were optimists or pessimists. And then they were followed from the ages of 30 to 60. And then basically what they found was that the pessimists were more likely to suffer poor health between the ages of 45 through 60 compared with the non-pessimists. So they found if you were pessimistic, you tend to have poor health. There was another study that was done that found that pessimists seek out medical care and psychological care services significantly more than do non-pessimists. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think of, I think of the people I know who are really pessimistic, they're always going to the doctor.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Complaining.
And then another, this was in Psychology of Aging. There was an analysis of 238 patients that were battling cancer, and they revealed that the younger pessimistic subjects, the ones between 30 and 59, were at an increased risk of death compared with their optimistic peers. So battling cancer, the pessimists were more likely to die. And then there was one more done at the University of Michigan, and they took 96 young adults, and the subjects who explained events pessimistically, so they would talk about something that happened and they talked in a negative way, also reported more frequent bouts with illness and poor overall health compared to the optimistic ones. And in addition, pessimists were less likely than optimists to take active steps towards healing during illness. So instead of actually just doing something to be healthier, they just complain more.
I see. I think some people actually just like to be down, you know, to complain about things.
It's comforting.
So, yeah, it
to
is.
To them, I'm sure. But would you say that it's probably something that's learned?
See, I would think it would be like what's going on in your life at you know. Obviously.
Well, no, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You can still look at it differently.
Yeah,
well,
it's true.
It's possible that being pessimistic, they've learned that that's one way to get attention.
Right.
Or to
get
people to do things for them. Or
join my pity party.
Yeah, usually there's got to be some type of benefit, even if it's subconscious. Right. And then it can become habitual.
Right. I just didn't know if it was something that was learned from parents or relatives.
Are you going to tell us how to curb our pessimism?
I am.
Oh, good.
I am. And, you know, as a chiropractor, you know, chiropractic is founded on the principle that the body functions as a whole, you know, rather than we're a system of isolated parts. And I think that the secret to the dramatic success of chiropractic over the last 120 years is that we know that everything is intricately connected.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's the mind and the body both have a really important role
in
the healing process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you adjust someone, obviously you're doing it's a physical maneuver on the body. But the mindset behind chiropractic inherently is that the body is capable of healing itself if given the right conditions.
Right.
So I feel like with our patients, it's really empowering for them to hear and be supported in the knowledge that they gain in the office that their body was meant to heal. How can we help the body heal? So that in and of itself is so empowering, and it's quite opposite of pharmaceuticals, because with pharmaceuticals, you're given the message that your body is not capable of healing. You need something from the outside to fix you.
Give me a happy pill.
Right. Oh, so you immediately are in the victim role, or you're in the role of disempowerment.
Mm-hmm. Or being told this happens a lot. Doctors will say, oh, you're going to have to live with that for the rest of your life.
Right. Right.
And it doesn't have to be
true. Or you have no control over this happening to you. This was genetic. This was, you know, and instead of, well, your lifestyle may have contributed. What can you do differently?
Exactly.
A lot of people are told that they have no control over a situation. Well, let's do this. Let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk about how can a pessimist become an optimist.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
We're talking about having the glass half full. I try to train our practice members actually at the table to not use pessimistic language when I'm about to adjust them or when I am adjusting them. I just feel like it's not going to help their healing. So, for example, I'll walk over to a table and someone's lying down waiting for me, and they'll look up and say, "Ah, doc, my low back is killing me." When I think about what you just said, you know.
Well, I usually say, "My neck hurts."
Right.
You're going to find that out, though, I think. You feel that right away.
Yeah, I feel that right away. Yeah. So if someone uses the phrase killing me, I'll just say, oh, you mean it's living you? And they'll look at me like, what? They'll say it's living you. It's reminding you how alive you are right now.
That's true. That's an interesting way of looking at it.
And I've taught people, instead of telling me this hurts or this hurts or this hurts, you know, it's okay to tell me what's going on with you. Sometimes it gives me clues on where subluxation may be in your spine. So it's not that you can't talk about how you're feeling, but if you use the phrase like, hey, doc, I got this neck project going on. I can tell my body's trying to heal. And it's just the right side's really, it feels locked up. See the difference there?
I'll say that next time, Jenny.
Okay. Got a project.
Now I feel bad. I'm over it, though.
That's inherently an optimistic way to look at it and to express it. And the way we express it is just the trail of what our thoughts are doing.
Right.
So how can a pessimist become an optimist? There's actually scientific studies on this that show that even the most ardent pessimists can change their tune. It's possible. You're not doomed if you're one of those Eeyores that sees... Actually, what do they say about Eeyore? He's an optimistic pessimist or something like that?
Really?
Yeah. There's something funny about that.
Jessica's going, who's Eeyore?
No, I'm just... What is an optimistic pessimist? That's what I'm wondering.
It's like an oxymoron.
Absolutely.
But you can start to... change the habit, and it's just a habit. It's a muscle that you have to build. So you need like that Pavlov's dog. You need like those ways to just touch base with yourself and remind yourself.
Affirmations.
So begin by just trying to identify the triggers for your pessimistic thoughts. So for example, you just have this habit that every time it rains, you complain that it's raining.
Right.
And recognize that. Think, well, what am I pessimistic about? Oh, you know, every time I drive to work, I'm pessimistic about the traffic.
Yeah.
Or as soon as this happens, there's wet clothes on the floor, or as soon as there's too many dishes in the sink, or as soon as this happens. And so first identify what your triggers are. Because it's interesting, some people can get all in a fuss over just certain things.
Over nothing, really.
Whereas somebody else, like, whatever, let it roll off.
Yeah. That's hard for people to do, though. You know?
It is, and it may require asking people close to you to tell you what your triggers are, because you may not identify it. But you know, those negative situations, if you identify them and then make a conscious decision of how you want to see it differently. So, for example, talking about the rainy day, you know, start to ask yourself, okay, so I complain when it's raining, but what is good about rain? Well, it does smell really good, and I love the sound when I'm trying to sleep. And
my flowers,
the flowers will look beautiful. And psychologists call this strategy reframing. Mm-hmm. So you can take the time to reframe. And if you catch yourself in the act, in that moment, try to reframe it. Because you can reframe like this, just super quick. You can just change your mind. I remember one time, my kids were really little. They were maybe like 3 and 5. And I had a good friend over who had 2 little kids who were about the same age. And we were talking in the kitchen, and the children somehow created some game that they were running up and down the hallway and making a ton of noise. They were screaming, and they were laughing.
That's what kids do.
Yeah, they were creating it. And I remember it was raining outside, and that's why the kids were inside, and they were just going crazy. And I remember just when I was thinking, oh my gosh, these kids are driving me crazy, my friend looked at me and said, oh, isn't it so wonderful to hear them so happy? I'm so glad they got together. I love the sound of their squeals. And as soon as she said that, it just turned me around. And I thought, you know what? You're right. And I wasn't annoyed.
There you go.
It can happen that quick.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, next time you're stuck in traffic, think about the great audiobook that you get to listen to a little bit longer.
Right, or just have that downtime.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can put a positive spin on just about everything, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You really put your mind to it.
Yeah, you're sick and it feels terrible, but then you realize you get to actually have an entire day in bed.
So what if you got laid off? Think of all those things that you've been wanting to do, but you haven't had any time to do them.
Or what new opportunities may be just around the corner.
That's right. Yeah, it's true.
You know, and sometimes we can recognize that something feels hard or like a struggle, and maybe in the moment it's hard to pinpoint what we find good about it, but if we have the awareness and we work toward that, it will help us, especially retrospectively. You know, when something has happened and you can look back on it, and you're telling someone about a situation in your life, it's easier to take the time to look back and say, you know what, what was good about that was, and focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because what does it serve you to replay the negative in your head?
Right.
and just create that record in your head, the story that you've been telling yourself for years and years and years about how something was not good or negative. And if you stop long enough to say, okay, we've established that that was bad, but maybe something good came from it. What was good? And allow yourself to just open up your brain enough to think about what was positive, and you can start to reframe. It actually builds new neural connections in your brain when you start to decide what's was good about something. And now we have proven that you can live longer when you do that. And to me, that's enough of a motivation.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And if you look back and you think about, oh, this happened and I got to do this later, like you can see the trail of what happened and what manifested out of it. And when something perhaps negative happens in your life, you can look at it and say, well, this is happening for a reason. I don't know what that is yet, but I'm going to look back and I'm going to know and I'm going to understand that this is part of the big picture.
Right. I never would have met this person, or right. I never would have had an opportunity to feel closer to this person, this never would have happened. Yeah. And
it's a journey.
It's a journey. And there's going to be ups and downs. But yeah, you're right. If you take the time to see the bigger picture, we can help to reframe what we maybe in the past viewed as negative. Mm-hmm. So that's the muscle. Work on building the muscle.
And if you'd like some more positive inspiration, please go to Facebook and look for Spinal Corrective Center and press the like button.
Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.